This time of year, the school calendar really starts to fill up. Spring activities, testing season, and that final push toward the end of the year. It's a great moment for kids to stay focused and build confidence in what they're learning. That's where IXL comes in. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand their schoolwork, from math and reading to writing and science. It's designed for pre-K through 12th grade, with personalized interactive content that adapts to each child's level and pace. IXL makes it easy to stay on track with instant feedback and clear explanations, skills organized by grade level, and simple progress tracking. It fits into even the busiest spring schedules. It's also trusted nationwide. In fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
You are listening to Feeding the Mouth That Bites You with Ashley Parrish and Jessica Pfeiffer,
a weekly podcast guide on parenting teens and launching them into the world. As always, we are joined by psychologist and author, Dr. Ken Wilgus.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back. On today's episode, we're talking all about communication, the differences and struggles teen boys and teen girls face.
Okay, I have a question.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If you ask your husband, "What did you do today?" And he says, "Nothing." Is that a good answer or does that bug you?
That's really irritating.
Yeah.
It is. I hear that all the time.
Yeah.
Because I know it's true. You didn't do nothing all day. And if you did, we've got a problem.
Mm-hmm. I had that yesterday with a couple of them in their marriage. So that's a perfect example of the reason I wanted to talk about this today is that there's a fading understanding because we're in the age of the individual, mm-hmm. that people actually are thinking that there isn't necessarily generalized differences in how men and women communicate. And that is not true. There are exceptions, but not as much as you think. That and the answer to the question, "What did you do today?" is a perfect example. Somewhere, all males were joined together in a camp where we were instructed that if you ask someone the question, "What did you do today?" This is the male contract and understanding. When I say, "What did you do today?" what I mean is, please tell me anything that happened today that's relevant to me. And please edit out anything that doesn't have anything to do with me. So if you say nothing, that's great. That's fine with me. Guys mm-hmm. do that. Mm-hmm. Men can remember that guy in college or high school that didn't know the rule and was just blah, blah, blah. And we're like, ugh. However, we've talked about this before. The women, the implied contract is when she says, "What'd you do today?" is, and I've said this, I think, on episode 20, "I wish we could be together all the time, but since we can't, would you please use words to fill in basically everything that's occurred since we were together last?"
Mm-hmm. So first I opened my eyes and then I looked at my alarm clock.
That's what men will say. Okay, what am I supposed to say?
I begin at the beginning and I tell the entire story with every detail.
Your answers were perfect. That's what wives will say is, if he says nothing, which, by the way, if your husband was my roommate, that's a great answer. Good, thanks. It's actually annoying or worrisome to women. Mm-hmm. So that's one of many examples that it's really important to know and to respect that there are pretty fixed differences in the implied contract, if you will, about what we're expecting to communicate to each other. And that's mm-hmm. what I want to make sure we talk about, because it really comes up a lot with teenagers in what your expectations are and how they communicate.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And I think boy and girl teenagers tend to kind of get silent in the teen years. And so parents, moms and dads get kind of worried or concerned because they're not sharing as much as they used to, because they fear that we're going to try and take over areas that they don't want to reveal too many details because mom's going to get upset or that sort of thing. But we're talking too about coaching our kids through some of the experience that they're having with the opposite gender. You know, I have kids that are in the dating years and they come home and say, "Well, it's just that we never talk about anything deep." And I'm like, "Well, what did you expect? He's, you know, a boy." Your expectations might
do
be
they
off
go
here.
Along? Do they say, "Good point"?
No, I think they expect, sometimes they expect their boyfriend to be like a girlfriend where she, can reveal every detail and they can talk about it and re-talk about it.
That's what girls do. When I talk to them all the time.
I just care about whatever football game is on. I don't really want to talk about that.
Okay, it's not that bad, but something like that. Yeah, that's exactly right. And so one of the aspects that's important is trying to help teenagers understand the difference in communication with a male if she's a girl and talking with a boy and the other way around. And I'm not kidding. You'll bump up against a wall. This is what worries me. I can't tell you how many kids I've said, how many girls I've said, yeah, well, you know, he didn't want to be your friend. Yeah. Oh no. Yeah. He's like a brother. Is that how you feel about him? Yeah. Okay. Then he likes you. It's one of you likes somebody and they get upset. Like that's not true. And so I feel like it's, you know, that worries me. It's fading out. You know, mm-hmm. Did you know the difference when you were, did you know what, here's what boys are thinking. Did that come up at all?
No.
I was a cheerleader and my grandparents were way overprotective. And so like any guy that would like look my way, they were like, right. He only wants one thing. And I'm like, okay, okay, grandma. Like,
yeah. See that makes it discounted. Cause it's not saying that boys only want sex. Cause that's not true. Mm-hmm. That's oversimplified. Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah, that probably would be a hard thing to hear. Cause you're not going to believe that.
Right. So that was the only thing.
Yeah.
But it's evident that males and females have differences in communication from the moment we can all talk. And this is something that we're still working on. I don't think we'll ever master it, you know,
right.
Even as adults.
Right.
Still, mm-hmm.
Especially in marriage, it's important.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, we're always working on it. We're more aware, obviously, but trying to help our teenagers through this, like Jessica said, when they come home and they're upset,
right.
Because they're just facing, you know, a communication struggle. How do we explain to our teenagers kind of the bits and pieces that we know?
Well, it's, you know, I think you have to start with really kind of knowing about it. And since it's a fading thing, my favorite book, and it's by my hero, Deborah Tannen, and she's a communications specialist, PhD in communication. And it's a book called You Just Don't Understand. Mm-hmm. And Deborah Tannen is Deborah, like with the R-A-H, but T-A-N-N-E-N, Tannen. And she is so objective and talks about communication studies that display so clearly a difference. And she's really good at not at all putting one above the other, which happens in my office a lot. Especially with marriage therapy. It's very hard not for a woman not to kind of discount, you know, what kind of an idiot husband doesn't want to share his deepest feelings. Pretty much most, you know, idiot husbands. And the other way around of, yeah, she is just always wanting to know, what did you do? What do you mean? No, nothing. What's wrong with her? She's a wife. I mean, now I understand there are some differences, some individual differences, but not as much as you think. You know, there's even women that don't ask a bunch, but it doesn't mean she's not happy about it or that she is happy about it. She just learned not to say anything. So knowing those differences is really important. So that would be the first step, Ashley, is kind of to educate yourself on a fading topic, which is there really is a difference. And then secondly, it gets at one thing you said, Jessica, there's a difference between a teenage son that comes home and doesn't really say much and a teenage daughter that comes home and doesn't really say much. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you've known that individual difference all their life. So there are girls that are not super communicative. But I would say in general, a girl that is not talking much, there is something more to it than a guy not talking, because there's something almost expected about a guy's not so much private, but just, I don't know why you need to know all this stuff. And that's particularly important for moms to know. And, you know, because they'll get pretty upset that, you know, he used to tell me a lot more. Yeah. When they're a boy, then it doesn't necessarily show itself. But the more adult you begin, then these kind of patterns start to show themselves. So I'd start with knowledge. And then secondly, I would use that knowledge to really evaluate. Have you been kind of reasonable about maybe your concerns about this kid's communication? That'd be the first two steps. Make sense?
Yes.
And we covered some of these already a little bit on episode 20 and 21, where we discussed mothers and sons and fathers and daughters.
That's right.
So we touched upon communication, because mostly, I think, for the most part, I mean, I'm a mom of a preteen boy, so I can own this one. I think most of the time it's between the mom and her son.
Yes.
Or as moms get our feelings hurt.
Yes. I think it's very true.
Because we do, we want to know the details. We want to know. Yeah. Cause he's a big boy now. We want to know the details, cause he's not a little guy anymore. And he's just like, I had a good day. And I'm just like, oh. So if you haven't listened to episode 20 and 21, I encourage you to go back and check those out.
Mm-hmm. So what Deborah Tannen describes in this, it's hard to do it just over audio, but if you'd want to make a general understanding of how women kind of evaluate relationships, sort of have a third ear for what I'm hearing and what we're saying to each other, does that say, and I'm now moving my hands in a horizontal, does that say that we are close, that we are similar, that we share, or are we distant? And that's a very important thing for females. For example, if your best friend said, oh yeah, my husband lost his job 2 weeks ago, a woman's first thought would be, 2 weeks ago? Wait, you didn't tell me this for 2 weeks? If it's something significant and you think you're close to each other, then you expect that you will share with each other. Most women have I always say there's a couple or three women on the 24-hour clock. If something big happens, you got to tell them within a day or they're going to feel hurt. Like I thought we were this, and now I have my hands closed together. I thought we were close, but now I think we're far apart. And that hurts. If if my wife gets on the phone with my sister-in-law, it's happened before. She's hung up and goes, did your brother tell you about whatever? Yeah. That's right. It was about 3 weeks ago. Why did you not tell me that? It's embarrassing, to her, like, now it looks like my husband and I are not close. That's very common for women. I cannot express enough. Men don't know what in the world you're talking about. I have never heard a man say, dude, you took this long to tell me. No, it is not a hurtful thing that you didn't tell me, because men's sort of third ear for relationship is now, and I'm doing my hands on a vertical. It is sort of like, are we the same? Or are you kind of better than me at this? And it's just an evaluation of sort of the respect. If men have a tense conversation with each other about a tough topic, you'll hear a lot of apologizing, a lot of, listen, I'm not, this probably in my business, but, or, I know that you're good at this stuff and you don't need me to say, but, and then he'll say what he needs to say. That apology, that sort of shrinking yourself down, is the necessary element of communication between men that says, look, I'm not coming at this high. I'm not coming at this as above you. We are the same in status. And that's really what it is, status. Men are very careful about that. That's why don't you ask him about his job? She says that he lost his job a week ago. Yeah, I'm not going to ask him. That's his prerogative to tell me. And if he doesn't, I'm not going to bug him about that. There's just a different value set about what's important. For women, it's connection, the horizontal. And for men, it's status. It doesn't mean that we don't have mix. I mean, women know about status. They want to be appreciated. And men are aware of closeness. But nothing, the priority is nothing the same. They're very different.
How can I be this many years old and have always, of course, innately, because I'm a woman, known that our communication is reflective of our connection to each other? I mean, I even sing a little song to Charlie. It's from a terrible video that my kids used to watch about being connected. He's like,
all right, I want
to
hear here's the song. Come on.
If we're not communicating well, I start singing this ridiculous song about being connected. And he's like, stop, please stop singing that. But
that's such a great way to be annoying. Yeah.
But I've never thought about it, men being status. I totally see it now that you say it, how men, yeah, a tough subject like that, like losing a job, they're thinking, man, I'm not going to point out something that might be embarrassing or shameful to him or upsetting to him. I'm not going to bring that up. He's going to have to bring it up with me.
That's so interesting
because every woman would think, well, I'm going to bring a meal. I'm going to take something over. I'm going to show how much I care.
And you know, she came out when I brought the meal. He stayed back in his room. He didn't even come say thank you. So, well, again, you know, you can step on, and this happens, as you can imagine, all the time in marriage, mm-hmm. because you're connected. You're super close. And a man can step all over a woman's toes, or his wife, because we feel not communicated, not connected. Mm-hmm. And women step all over their men's status toes without even trying, because nobody mm-hmm. told us. I ask every marriage, the first question I ask is to the man, what advice, if any, did you get from your father about marriage? And I'll ask the woman, what advice, if any, did you get from your mother about marriage? And you can probably guess, it is 95% of men, nothing. Or mm-hmm. I wouldn't have listened to that son of a, anyway, you know, that kind mm-hmm. of thing. Women is almost the same, vast majority, nothing, mm-hmm. except for a larger minority group. Yes, my mother did advise me about marriage. And she said, never let go of your savings account. Don't let them take, keep your job. Sort of like, mm-hmm. that's not good. It's like, don't get too excited about this marriage thing. It's really bad. You know, that's not really the advice we're looking for. And mm-hmm. I don't think that was true a couple of hundred years ago. I think there's a shared wisdom. And I know there's scripture that's helpful, but mm-hmm. the kind of thing we're looking for, that's sort of specific in our age, you really have to read into scripture to get there. And it doesn't give us the detail that we're looking for mm-hmm. as far as this kind of thing. It's shared wisdom that I think a man getting married, his father, his uncles, and all the men of the village would take him aside and go, okay, there's a secret thing you need to know. This girl mm-hmm. you're going to marry is going to be super insecure about whether you're connected. So you need to put your arm around her. You need to bring her stuff. She'll notice if you don't know how she takes her tea, she'll pay it. So you need to keep reminding her you're connected. And the guy mm-hmm. will be going, really? Oh, yeah. And he'll say, well, she's not like that now. And all the men will go, I know. Yeah, you're not married. Just wait. But at the same time he's doing that, I think his future wife and her mother and aunts and all the women of the village are in a different place saying, I know you think your man is a very cool guy and he feels very successful. He's going to be more insecure than you can imagine. Mm-hmm. He's going to think you're telling him he's a loser. Mm-hmm. When you try to tell him your feelings, he's going to feel like you're criticizing him mm-hmm. and they're just super touchy. So you need to be sure and know how to not... You need to tell them how you're feeling, but you need to learn how to talk in male speak that starts with, hey, I'm not saying that you're a bad father because you are a good father, but lately mm-hmm. I'm feeling, and you put that in there, the sort of boundary, the apology thing. That's how men do. Mm-hmm. So, and last thing I'll say is that I teach this stuff. I'm not great at, I'm better at this in my marriage, but it's so unnatural.
Well, can because I it's just not how I do you? It. For a second and just sure. let all of our listeners know that when you held that book up, it was really worn.
It's true. I love Deborah Tannen.
Keeps it on the nightstand just in case he needs it.
Actually, I keep it on the nightstand because wives like to know that their husbands are reading Aww. About stuff. I've even told guys, put the book on your nightstand and then move the bookmark. So it looks like you care. No, that's not true. But yes, I go through it a lot because it's just so unnatural. And that's what you're saying, Jessica. Yeah. Like, how do I not know this? It just doesn't fit what's mm-hmm. natural to you.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I do think, I know for sure that, with my husband, I can tell there's always this sense of respect that he needs from me when we're communicating about something difficult. You know, he wants to hear you're a great father, but when you did that, it really upset me, or whatever right. it is, that he needs that preface of, I don't think you're a terrible person or, right. whatever it is. But I do want to say, I want to be one of those village women that pulls my kids aside.
Good. That's a good
and
goal.
I know my husband wants to be that way too, with our son and even with our daughters, between mom and son and father and daughters, I think it's important to talk about these things. So how do we, when our kids are struggling with, let's say, a boyfriend relationship or a girlfriend relationship and saying, the communication is poor. I don't understand why she's so upset. How do we step in and kind of explain the other side to our kids or explain what advice would you give to us parents?
It's especially hard now, like I say, because when I talk to teenagers about this, they argue with me. They will clearly oppose you in that. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a good idea to think if you're in that analogy, I think it's a good idea to bring in other people. Like if mm-hmm. you as a mom are telling your daughter or your son, if you and your sister are telling him, or you and a good friend of yours are sitting, or even two or three women that you can hear from this cluster of women or cluster of guys that, nope, that's right, that's what it's what it is, that that really helps kind of validate, because otherwise it's a tough road to hoe. So I would, number one, is try to bring in other voices to kind of validate what you're saying.
So my daughter and husband were in the car headed somewhere, and my husband was trying to tell my daughter, no, the only reason that boy is calling you, texting you, wanting to get together is because he likes you. And my daughter was absolutely, no, it's because we're friends. He's just nice. We just get along really well. We just have a lot in common. And he kept saying, no, that is absolutely not the case. He likes you. And she continued to dismiss him. And he said, hold on a second. And he speed dials his brother and says, hey, I got my daughter here and she's telling me that this boy's calling her and texting her. Why is he calling her and texting her? And he said, because he likes her. And to have that kind of confirmation,
I think that's genius,
from your uncle, this is a male, a well-known male topic, that this is, that's not, right, this is not because he wants to be your best friend. And he actually has some feelings for you.
And not that he just wants sex. Mm-hmm, that message, right, doesn't go very far.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not always. No. Sometimes that might be the case, but not always.
Is that what you were told, Ashley?
Yes, that is what I was told.
That, but they, I only think, want sex.
That's right.
Did you believe that?
I did not.
Yeah, it's not true completely. They're not against, yeah, it, but to try to, right, oversimplify it like that, I think your gut would know that, no, he doesn't, you know, try to grab me and stuff. He seems to really generally like me. And of course he does, right, like you, mm-hmm, but, mm-hmm, we mean with a status oriented guy, he's going to want you to be his girl, sort, mm-hmm, of.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's why, I don't know, I think, you know, your kids, when they become teenagers, they're trying to figure out this, you know, this life for themselves, because they think they're totally grown and they know better than us because we're just old and,
right, it used to be that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they've got to figure out things the hard way, but, true, I do think it would be wise for us parents to know when to approach it and offer our wisdom and advice. Is that right, Dr.
Yeah,
Ken,
and especially advice in that, mm-hmm, way. You know, there's a technique to giving advice.
Yeah.
But I think this is something that you need to be educated about and help your teenagers understand. You know how many boys I've said that they've come in going, okay, remember that girl that broke up with me? Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah. That was like 3 weeks ago. She just texted me, how are you doing? And I'm like, what does she want to get back together? Nope. No, dude. She just wants to know how you're doing. She, just because we broke up doesn't mean we can't be friends. And the guy's going, yeah, it does. We can't be friends. I know, I get that, but she doesn't know that. So don't overstate it. She's just still wanting to stay connected. Be nice to her, but you're not going to want to communicate as much as she does. That's because you're a guy and it hurts that you're not together now and all that stuff. The status sort of our relationship makes a difference to him.
Mm-hmm. That is so classic teenager stuff. I mean, oh my goodness. Yes. I just, you know, I watched kids doing that kind of stuff and I'm thinking they just clearly do not see the way the other gender is seeing things, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's actually getting worse, like I keep saying, like there are the dating patterns of seniors in high school, like how much they go out and who, you know, the who they could get with is like in the 1970s eighth graders, like, mm-hmm, there's just not the same. So it gets more confusing. We're with a group, we're all friends, he's not really like that. It makes it harder for them to see.
Mm-hmm. You know what I've seen a lot with my daughter's friends? They will start dating. A boy and a girl will start dating. She will cut off all of her girlfriends just so that they can be together.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden it goes south real quick.
Big
and they
mistake.
End up breaking up. The girls, all the girlfriends are mad at the one girl because, yes, they were like, you totally cut us off for 3 weeks, you know, because it doesn't last long.
That's right.
You know, you totally ditched, right, us for Johnny for 3 weeks, you know, and now you want to be our friend again. Like that was rude.
Great example, because it's going to hurt the girls. Mm-hmm. It'll kind of hurt a guy's friends, but not as much as
it
girlfriends.
It hurts the girls. And then the girl comes, you know, like, I'm sorry. You know, like he just didn't want me to, you know, snap other boys.
That's right. Right. Mm-hmm. But then following that horizontal, all the girlfriends are going, I thought we were close like this, but we're actually distant. And remember, one of my favorite memes is high school is not the place to find your husband. It's where you find your bridesmaids.
Hey, I like that.
Thank you. One of my faves. Very important.
I like that.
I think that's
so
true.
That's the kind of thing that girls, and I've told you all this before, it worries me that I have to teach girls about the importance of friendships. And this is largely because of the internet. It has really changed, you know, a lot of, most of our younger teenagers really think that internet connection is in fact real connection. It is not. And no one ever says, good point, Doctor Woods. They're always looking at me like I'm a sad old man that, no, this was texting, but that's the same as talking. It is not. It is not the same. I get with my friends on the game every afternoon. No, you don't. You're on a game. So it really does dilute people's understanding of how human beings interact with each other.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I've got a question for you. So, you know, Ashley was talking about when couples pair up and then, you know, the girl kind of ditches her friends or things like that. But I've also seen where couples pair up. Let's say the girl starts dating a new boy, but is still friends with these other boys. Of course, the new boyfriend gets jealous and says, you can't be friends with these boys anymore. But she says, because she sees it this way, they're not flirting with me. They're not texting me because they like me. They know I'm dating someone else. I'm just friends with them because we get along really well. Should that girl be go with her new boyfriend and leave behind these guy friends that she may have been friends
with? That's a great question.
Or does she continue with those friendships knowing that this is just high school? And
well, that brings up two issues. So you don't use the marriage playbook to date. Mm-hmm. So the obvious answer is a wife who's newly married and has lots of guy friends. Her husband doesn't like it. She really needs to think about how much that will hurt him. And she should absolutely respond to that. Now, any husband that knows what he's doing would not go, you can't be friends. He would be like, honey, can I just tell you how this feels to me so that it helps her to feel like we're connected. But when it comes to dating, I really don't mind if you're not following the playbook. It is, however, a marriage playbook. It is a good opportunity, however, to explain why that's hard for him. And again, you're going to have to argue it. That I told him, no, I'm going to be friends. These are my guy friends. Here's what's probably hard about that, hun, is that he knows what other guys are thinking. And the fact that your girlfriend talked to me a bunch yesterday kind of is threatening to a guy. And so you might want to keep that in mind. It's not the same for him. Those are one of the many examples that you can let kids know that this is different. A guy that's bothered by it with his girlfriend, you could tell him, look, it does not necessarily mean that she's trying to flirt and get another boyfriend. She probably doesn't value the same thing you do, and you might need to explain it to her. But those are opportunities to me to at least, you know, show the myriad of examples of how you're not the same. Mm-hmm. But I would not go all the way as to saying you must not flirt with or talk with other boys because you have a boyfriend. That's a marriage rule. And I don't want to overdo, you know, I can't tell you how many girls I've had that are dating and they've been months and months and we're arguing. It's terrible. And I'm like, I don't want to break. I don't want to ignore the relationship. I said, no, that's a marriage rule. If you don't like your boyfriend, you break up. That's what you do. Like, this is what we're doing. We're not married. So I would just use it as an opportunity to point that out, but I wouldn't necessarily make that a rule that here's what you need to learn to do with dating. No, it's just dating. Don't go there. You know, it's with your husband that it's really going to be an issue. And I've seen that. I've seen young marrieds actually think that, he can still, you know, get together with his girl best friend and it's all fine. No, it's not. It's not okay. So that's how I would, does that make sense? That's what I would do. I'd point it out, but I'd be careful not to make it a dating rule. You're just dating. Let's not overvalue that. Same thing is never take a boyfriend on a vacation with you. Don't do that. Don't take a girlfriend if you can avoid it. Well, no, you can avoid it. It's just give them the freedom to break up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
That's good.
So the last part to think about though is if you're as a parent, just be careful. And this often comes back to moms. It's really important to not be unnecessarily hurt if, for example, your teenage son sounds just like my husband, he says nothing, we didn't do anything. You know, it's really helpful to remember that that is a male communication style and it's not personal to you. Even if he was the 10-year-old boy that loved to tell you everything, he's becoming more and more kind of man in his, male in his stereotypic communication. And so it's a good opportunity to teach him how to handle that, which would be not to shame him. Like, what do you mean nothing? Who doesn't, that doesn't help anything. But you can also tell him, well, okay, I'm glad you told me that. Let me just tell you that I was hoping for more, because it's, I really like knowing detail, and maybe that's boring to you, but if you ever feel like you can, I would love to know more, which basically is the speech to tell your husband as well. But you just don't need to overemphasize, nor do fathers need to rest comfortably with, you know, we get together some. I mean, we talk. I know something about where, you know, when she's in sports, that's plenty. No, it's not. No, mm-hmm. it's not. Does she know? For example, I ask fathers, do you know your daughter's friends' names? Do you know what's going on with her? Because she will notice if, you know, well, your mother knows all that stuff. I just swoop in occasionally. Then you will not be close, and you want to be close. That's mm-hmm. the sort of weapon against bad boyfriends, is being close to your daughter. And emotionally close to women is what we've been describing. Knowing her. Listen, girls love to be predicted. Like if a father can go, hey, yesterday when we did such and such, is that the kind of thing that you hate in that? Yes, that is exactly right. She loves that. Like, wow, mm-hmm. he knows me. Mm-hmm. And so, so fathers need to be aware of how women communicate in his marriage for that matter. But mm-hmm. to his daughter, she can be feel distant when a man thinks, you know, what's the problem?
Mm-hmm. That's really funny that you mentioned, because my husband and daughters are very close. And sometimes, well, he's taken them to soccer practice, which is 30 minutes away for us. And so that's a great opportunity for them to catch up. And he'll get out of the car looking like his head is spinning. And he'll be like, oh my gosh, she just talked about so much stuff. And he's like totally overwhelmed, like drinking out of a fire hose, you know, just so much stuff. But then 2 minutes later, she'll say something about her friend, and he'll be like, who's Susie? And she'll be like, the girl I was talking about the whole time, you know. And he's like, oh, I just, I that's know. Your mom's business. I don't know your friend's name. That's just up to her.
It's funny. It's hard for us. I'll be honest. Yeah. My two oldest are 2 years apart. So, and boy and a girl. So everything they went through was our first time. So I knew their kids and their mm-hmm. friends' names and all that stuff. But when our youngest came along, which was 6 years later, I'll admit that I had to write down and keep it in my wallet the name of her friends, because I knew her best friend, but there was, you know, the other ones. Who, I didn't want to be the who is that? So I would mm-hmm. secretly look at the little card. Oh, yeah, her. Yeah, isn't she the one that you didn't like last year? Whatever. So, mm-hmm. yeah, it's super important. But again, you've got to keep in mind that the assumption that we as men and we as women are pretty much the same in this, or even mm-hmm. that it's really about each individual, there's not a grouping, that is just wrong. Mm-hmm. Research shows that. And the more that you serve each other by doing the kind of communicating that isn't natural to you, mm-hmm. but is natural, it's sort of the dialect that you're daughter or son speaks, or for that matter, your husband or wife speaks. That's how you really love someone. You serve them by learning somewhat about their dialect, kind of like a different way of comprehending how communication works.
Well, that was a great wrap up, Dr. Kim. I don't even know if I need to close, but I think that's what the bottom line is that communicating, learning how the other people in your life communicate is an act of love, right? And noticing what is meaningful to them and learning what is valuable to them and the way that they communicate is of utmost importance. Thank you guys for this conversation today.
Thanks for joining us today. Hit the subscribe button so you won't miss an episode. Also, leave us a review. This is how other listeners find our podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Feeding the Mouth.
We appreciate you and would love to hear from you. If you have any questions, thoughts, or ideas about what we've discussed today, please email us at podcast@feedingthemouth.com.
This time of year, the school calendar really starts to fill up. Spring activities, testing season, and that final push toward the end of the year. It's a great moment for kids to stay focused and build confidence in what they're learning. That's where IXL comes in. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand their schoolwork, from math and reading to writing and science. It's designed for pre-K through 12th grade, with personalized interactive content that adapts to each child's level and pace. IXL makes it easy to stay on track with instant feedback and clear explanations, skills organized by grade level, and simple progress tracking. It fits into even the busiest spring schedules. It's also trusted nationwide. In fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.